Hallo, herzlich willkommen zum Podcast Wellbeing Anna, dein Podcast für einen gesunden Geist in einem gesunden Körper. Mein Name ist Anna und ich bin der Host dieses Podcasts und heute gibt es den zweiten Teil von dem Interview, das ich mit Anna-Maria Clement geführt habe. Anna-Maria ist Leiterin des Hippocrates Health Institutes in Florida zusammen mit ihrem Mann Brian. Und die hatten eine Europa-Tour, eine Speaking-Tour durch, ja, wirklich ganz Europa. Sie waren in Dublin, in Kopenhagen, in Stockholm, in Amsterdam, in Hamburg. Und ich hatte die Ehre, sie in Hamburg treffen zu dürfen und ein ganz wundervolles Interview mit ihr zu führen. Und ich freue mich heute im zweiten Teil des Interviews ganz besonders in die Power von Sprossen, von gekeimten, von grünen Säften, von rohveganer Ernährung mit dir einsteigen zu dürfen. Es geht wirklich darum, wie du mehr lebendige Nahrung in dein Leben integrieren kannst und was es für einen Riesenunterschied macht. Und es geht darum, auch um das Thema Ethik, um das Thema Mutter-Kind-Beziehung, warum Kuhmilch nicht für uns gemacht ist. Und es geht darum, wie Anna-Maria es schafft, einfach so lange, so konstant dabei zu sein, so diszipliniert zu sein. Es geht um ihre Einkaufsroutine. Sie gibt viele persönliche Einblicke und Tipps mit, damit du wirklich den nächsten Step gehen kannst und schauen kannst, was kannst du noch Neues ausprobieren, was kannst du vielleicht noch optimieren, weiterentwickeln, um den nächsten Schritt auf deinem Weg in Richtung vollkommene Gesundheit zu gehen. Ich wünsche dir ganz viel Freude mit diesem Interview. Ich freue mich wie immer, wenn du mir ein Feedback gibst bei Instagram. Schreib mir gerne deine Erfahrungen, deine Fragen und lass vielleicht auch Anna-Maria ein paar liebe Worte da. Die wird sich darüber ganz besonders freuen. Ganz, ganz viel Spaß mit der heutigen Episode.
And I thought that I could teach my friends in school. I thought, oh, I'll just tell them what to do. No more milk. And they looked at me like, milk? No, why would I not have milk? Yes. When I teach, for example, for diabetes, I say, you know, milk, meat, chicken, fish, eggs, that's number one cause of diabetes and stress, of course. And they think, no, it's sugar. Yeah, sugar is minor compared to them, because you will never get rid of diabetes as long as you have the fish, chicken, meat, and eggs and dairy. Yes. So now then they're eating all the bad stuff and then they have diet soda. It's like a joke. Yeah. It's a joke. But it's a joke on humanity because the physicians, the doctors were not taught anything about nutrition. So they eat the bad stuff themselves. They drink Coca-Cola, they drink wine. People wonder, you know, there's no alcohol. Why do I need alcohol when life is so high in itself? Why would I want to drink alcohol to get high? And that's not a high, that is a low.
Yes.
So, you know, it's a different mindset and you really have to try it to know. You can't just theoretically say, well, everybody says we need protein from meat. You know, we show in our lectures how much protein lettuce have, cabbage, broccoli. You know, compare that to meat, it's like 50 times more. Then we get to sprouts. So then we take seeds. Like if you take a sunflower seeds and you let it, you soak it first overnight and then I let it sprout a little bit, then I, but this is the unhulled, because you have hulled that I eat like it is, but the unhulled have the shell. Now they start growing in 24 hours without water. They're just moist from the soaking. Now they grow a little bit. Now I put them on soil. So I just put them on top of soil and I water well and they start growing. Now the roots tip down into the soil and they start growing this beautiful thing that we grow for 7 days or 8, depending how cold the room is. And these are complete amino acids. That's just one of the sprouts. So sprouts have much more nourishment. If I take a broccoli seed compared to broccoli in itself, it has 30 times more nourishment, phytonutrients. For us, Brian calls it hope. We have hormones, we have oxygen, we have phytonutrients, we have enzymes. That's the raw food. And that is gone when you cook food. I did an interview with the scientist that did research for Johns Hopkins University in America. They wanted to know what's in broccoli sprouts. And they found sulforaphane. Sulforaphane is anti-cancer, big time. And that's just one of the sprouts we eat. We eat so many different kinds. And they found that if I cook it, it's gone. So now raw food comes in, and that's the next level of vegan. Because yes. When I started, it was all cooked. I mean, everything was cooked. And then you start realize, oh, if you start eating things raw and sprouted especially, now you're getting a totally different amount of nourishment, amount of protein that you actually can digest. So your level of health goes up each day, and you know, it's just a beautiful thing to see. I see my friends who are still eating normal meat and all of that. In my age, I'm 68, they're old. They think of life, oh my God, you travel, and they moved from a beautiful house to a small apartment because they can't take care of the house anymore. They can't take care of the garden anymore. I'm like, what did you do? What happened? You let your health go so much? Mm. Well, because you're eating an animal-rich diet and you're having milk. Who needs milk? A baby? I nursed for 2 or 3 years, and a cow is nursing their baby to grow 1,000 pounds in a year. Imagine, I mean, I was brought up on that. My mother never nursed me. So I had velling, which is in Sweden, white flour and milk, and you heat it up and you whip it and you pour it in the bottle and it's nice and creamy. And it's lactose and gluten. It's the two worst things you can give. Anyway, so the lactose in mother's milk is totally different than cow's milk. The only milk, if a mother cannot nurse for some reason, is goat's milk. Because look at the goat, the size. It's more like our size. Is it enough? No. I would add blue-green algae to that baby to have more nourishment. Because goat's milk is not the same as mother's milk. It's like crazy how we think about nursing. And some women nurse 3 months, 6 months, 2 years. 2 years is, you know, there's a part of our brain that changed when we give birth to a child. And for 2 years, we're totally connected, invisible connection. And we need to be with the baby. Well, because we need to feed the baby, we need to treat, we need to hold it. And, you know, it's just all the natural things a mother should have time to do. But most women, after 3 months, they don't do it anymore, at least in America. I know here is better, in Germany and Sweden is a little bit better. But we're not really understanding how important that is. Because look, in 2 years, a child talks, they walk, they can pour a cup full of water. They can be independent. So that's when the world really opens up. Except, of course, it opens up with all the family and grandmother and father, you know, all of the people in your life. The more, the merrier. And pets and dogs and cats and things like that. But the world really opens up after 2 years old. And mother has that instinct, and so does baby. So we're totally invisibly connected. Yeah. And so we most of us started life not having that because we were not nursed, and we didn't, you know, we didn't have that close connection like we were supposed to have. But we can always make up for that later in life. But the microbiome that you got from your mother changed when you had cow's milk. Mm-hmm. And then people ask me many times, when should I start feeding my child? And I'm like, well, it starts when they start crawling, because nursing is number one. And then naturally it goes into, I want to see what mommy is drinking. Mm-hmm. What is she eating? And most of the time in the beginning, you spit it out. You're like, are you crazy? But then after a while, you want something and like fresh fruits and avocados and sprouts. So the first 3 years of your life, you nurse for two, but you start eating during that time, maybe at 10 months or some, but very little. And then you have green juice. And so we make green juice of sunflower mm-hmm. sprouts, pea sprouts, celery, cucumber. And they just get a little bit of that. Of course, it's very diuretic, so I don't want to give a lot celery and cucumber to a baby. But just a little bit for them to get used to it. And, you know, it's the first 3 years should be 100% raw. Fresh fruits, organic, bio, and vegetables, and sprouts, and then avocados, and you can make nut pâtés. And we soak all the things. We soak the nuts 12 to 24 hours in water, and then the only nuts we don't use is cashew and peanuts. The only beans we don't use, because those I soak and sprout too. Even if I cook them after 3 years old, I might cook and make hummus and bean dips and soups out of it and so on. But I soak it 12 hours, sprout it 24 before I put into the soup. So it's a different thinking, but it's not hard. Look, women, in the old days, women would harvest. It would take a lot of time to grow things and harvest things. And we spend a lot of time in the kitchen. This lifestyle, hardly any. I water, I rinse, I grow, and I go in the garden and I put seeds down. Yes. It's not a big deal anymore, because women also in these days need much more time to educate and be examples and be leaders. And that is at the end of the day, the more women take leadership, of course, the better. As long as women don't think of themselves as another man.
Yes. When they live their true nature. And,
exactly.
I think that's maybe one thing, like the women, like generally they think more about the whole, like other people,
right?
The planet, and yes. They're more empathetic.
Yes.
And it's also, in my opinion, it's so necessary that women lead more, like in companies, but also
yes.
maybe in social industries, whatever. So
right.
It's so important, and yes. I'm so thankful that you did your way, and I have so much respect, because as you said, like over 50 years ago, it was not like today where you have so many options, and like
right.
There are people now, I have many friends who are vegan and who
yes.
are open and opening up and getting more and more vegan or vegetarian, and so important. But 50 years ago,
you were crazy. Why?
Yes.
Why are you doing this?
Yes. Now I am crazy because I eat raw vegan.
Yes,
it's
oh,
the next
yeah.
step.
That's
what
the
is
next
coming,
step.
Especially also like in the sport industry. Still mm-hmm. in sport, they think, how do you have energy?
Right.
And maybe mm-hmm. you can introduce us. How does a typical day look like in your life? So what
yeah.
do you eat? What are your routines? Like, I'm a big fan to have these routines, because as you said,
yeah.
over a couple of days or weeks, you don't think about it anymore. It's
no.
not the energy, because
right.
I think the most people fear, I have to put so much energy all my life into it to be healthy or whatever, but no
yeah.
it's like naturally thing,
right.
and you get so much energy back, and then it's just
right.
fun.
Yeah, you need to be a little bit ahead of yourself. I only shop once a week, So I go, the best place is farmers market, and you know, where farms come in and you have the, you know them after a while, the biodynamic, and I buy all I need for the week. Because in the old days, we went to the store every day, and because we wanted fresh meat or fresh chicken or so, right? Now this is different. So we don't need to shop every day. And that takes away, we save a lot of money too, but we, it takes away this dependency on the stores, right? So now I need good water. So a good distiller would be really good because we drink distilled water. So you can buy, go to the water store and buy a good distiller, and you make your own water at home. So you take tap water from the house, and you put it in the distiller, and you have beautiful water, pure. And people say, well, it's no mineral. No, those minerals are inorganic. You cannot digest them anyway. So obviously we were meant to drink spring waters, but the springs are so polluted now, it's so we distill. So you start the morning, I put lemon in water. We do intermittent fasting. Intermittent fasting is in the morning for us, and you can do it in the evening, or you skip one meal. So I don't eat breakfast, I just want to drink. So I make lemon water, and then I make the green juice. Then I make celery, cucumber, sunflower pea sprouts, and drink 16 ounces of that, half a liter, which I do twice a day, but in the morning that. And of course, we have something called wheatgrass. Mm-hmm. And wheatgrass, I drink like 4 ounces. And it's my medicine. I don't like it, but I take it as medicine. And I've been drinking it now for 40 years. Wow. And I still shiver. It is a funny thing.
Yeah, but now it's fun. Like, yeah. Yeah,
it's okay. It's and when the guests had come to the Institute and they first drink it, they're like, oh, it's so nice and sweet. And so, but then after a few days, they're like, oh, I see what you mean. But it's the best medicine. It's complete, complete. Yes. And so that is, you know, that 2 ounces of wheatgrass is worth 5 pounds of vegetable. I would have to eat 5 pounds of vegetable. So I get enormous nourishment. I take my supplements with that. I take B12, of course, vitamin D, even though I'm in the sun, but I'm not in the sun enough. I work indoors. Mm. I take algae, a lot of algae, blue-green algae, chlorella. I take enzymes, and then I take different. Brian and I are the testers for everything new, and a lot of new things, a lot of new treatments. We always test on ourselves first, so because I don't believe you should test something on somebody else. Yes. Then I don't know what reaction you're gonna have. So so we fast more or less. We just drink. And then by lunch, we have salad. This is all big time sprouts and lettuce and arugula and spinach and all that, and avocado or nuts. And I have some olives and, you know, simple. Now in my life, I only eat one meal a day because I'm 68. I don't need I don't do the physical job of a sports person, or, you know, and or a carpenter or something. So one meal is enough for me, but I have the two juices a day, and that's so much nourishment and the wheatgrass. So for me, it keeps me better. If I'm on vacation and I'm hiking, I eat two meals. Mm-hmm. Then I eat two meals because I need more fuel for my body. And, you know, essential fatty acids are very important. So I get it from my avocado. I get it from my nuts. And I get it from all the sprouts. They're essential fatty acids in so many things. So I don't want saturated fats. I don't want trans fats. Of course, I don't eat any of that. And that's what people are surprised when they have heart attack and stroke, because they get to see the x-rays. Oh, you're all clogged up. How did I get clogged up? Mm. So, you know, it shows itself, because when you see how it heals diseases, and, you know, people, we are not a clinic in Florida. We are a teaching facility. But we have all the tools for people to heal themselves through the diet, through the juices, through the therapies, through psychology. And of course, we have IVs, we have hyperbaric, we have, you know, we have state-of-the-art treatments too that are more medical, but that is just a smaller part of it, because the big part is to change your thinking of how you feed yourself, how you take care of your body, how you explore life and work on the emotional. It's amazing to see. You see people come in, they're tired and sad, and then leave with a smile and the ease of life, like, oh, this is how I should live. This is, and it's never too late. One lady came, she was 97. She had melanoma, cancer. She had arthritis, osteoporosis. She was so weak. She stayed 7 weeks. She could hardly walk when she came. And in 7 weeks, she's swimming in the pool and she's exercising with weights. And it's never too late.
Yeah, and that's the best message I would say, like, everybody should, like, really feel how it feels to be healthy, to have energy, and how it feels when you really nourish your body, like, from green juices, and it's like pure life energy.
Oh, it's life, and, you know, we all should have the chance to feel like that. Yes. We all... Like, life is so amazing when we start realizing the gift you were given, and whatever higher spirit you believe in, realize it was a gift. And what do you do with a gift? Do you want to just throw it away, or you want it to flourish and be what it came here to be? Because we all came here very, very special, very special, and we were gifted the world. We were also a gift to the world to learn and to expand and to be on a higher level in our life than just totally basics of mistreating men and women, slavery, and you know, abuse that happens all the time. That part we need to grow out of, and how we each can be an example of that is all we can do. That's all we came here to be. If we can teach our own kids, our own children, to be a part of that and to want to keep the world and the humanity and all the inhabitants that we share. And, you know, the 7-8 million other inhabitants, which is the animals, the insects and all that, they all eat raw food. You don't see a deer thinking, those leaves look good, but let me fry them. It was like all other animals know what to eat, and they know that it has to be raw.
And they are healthy.
And they're healthy. Yes. So somehow we all wanted more. And human beings always want more. But now let's say that we want more of humanity and spirituality. We don't need greed and oppression and slavery. We don't need that anymore. But we can only be each one of us an example.
Yes.
So thank you, Anna.
Thank you so much. It was such an honor and a pleasure. And I was here, like, I could speak for hours with you.
Yes.
And, yeah, maybe we have a chance for a second interview in whatever next year. Let's see. I Welcome. It's like my dream to visit your institute for sure.
You're so welcome.
And thank you so much, Anna Maria, for your time, for your wisdoms. And I wish you all the best, like for all your guests also and all the people in the world, that the message, what you spread in the world, gets as much as possible.
Thank you. Love to you.
Thank you.
Ich hoffe sehr, dass du ganz dolle inspiriert bist, viel für dich mitnehmen konntest und einfach deinen Weg gehst. Also ich finde es unglaublich, weil vor über 50 Jahren ist Anna Maria vegan geworden und das war nochmal eine ganz andere Zeit und es zeigt einfach nur, wenn man etwas wirklich möchte und wenn man etwas ganz tief in sich fühlt, dann ist es möglich und man sollte genau diesen Weg einschlagen, weil das dann dein Lebensweg ist. Geh wirklich nach deinem Herzen, vertraue deinem Bauchgefühl, vertraue deiner Intuition, treff die Entscheidung nach deinem Bauchgefühl, das ist das Richtige, weil wir haben in unserem Bauchgehirn die universelle Intelligenz. Wir können manches vom Kopf noch gar nicht begreifen, aber unsere Intuition weiß, was richtig ist. Ich danke dir, dass du da bist. Danke für dein Vertrauen. Ich würde mich riesig freuen, wenn du die Episode teilst mit deinen Freunden, mit deinen Liebsten, wenn du glaubst, dass es das Richtige ist. Und wünsche dir einen wundervollen Tag. Würde mich auch wie immer über eine positive Bewertung freuen und sende dir ganz, ganz liebe Grüße aus Mallorca, wo ich gerade ein paar Tage Urlaub mache und freue mich nächste Woche auf eine neue Folge mit dir. Alles, alles Liebe, bis dahin, nourish your mind and body wisely, deine Anna.